Of Advent. I know it was the first week of Advent by calendar, but we are in week two. And first let me just thank each of you who have who stayed after last week to decorate the church. It looks beautiful. It's festive. Looks absolutely amazing. But picture this. Picture this for a moment. You are living your life. Okay? You're living your life. You're making your plans. Maybe you are even feeling like you have got things figured out. Then all of a sudden, God shows up with a completely different script for your life. A script that makes no earthly sense at all, but somehow just feels right in your spirit. Have you ever faced something that just didn't line up with your plans? I mean, your plans for life, but it just felt exactly eternally right. This is exactly what Mary and Joseph, how they found themselves. If we could just step into their sandals in the days before that first Christmas, we might be surprised all at what we'd feel, right? The nativity scenes on our mantles at home. Does anyone here have a manger scene at home that they have displayed? Right. No matter how little or how big it is, right? So you have these nativity scenes. I want you, over the next several days, I want you to take a moment and study that nativity scene. And what you will see is everything and everyone seems to be calm. It seems to be serene. It seems to be very composed, like they are posing for a holy holiday card. But the truth is, their journey started with shock, uncertainty, awkward conversations, and significant social risk. You see, in the videos, Mary often serves as a voice of calm wisdom. She sees the deeper truth, whether she is speaking to Gabriel, whether she's speaking to the wise men or the shepherds. But we must remember, church, her story began with her heart racing and her mind spinning. You see, the angel's announcement meant that her life was about to change in ways that she could never have predicted, right? She would not have control of. She couldn't fully understand it. And Joseph, well, let me just tell you, his story began with the most difficult decision of his life. Would he believe Mary's impossible explanation? Or would he quietly step away from the woman he loved to protect both their reputations? You see, church, here is what makes their story so powerful. In the face of the unknown, the costly, and the risky, both Mary and Joseph found the courage to say, "Yes, Lord." Is that you today? That no matter what God would call you to, no matter what circumstance or situation comes your way, would you be able to say, "Yes, Lord"? Isaiah 6:8 says, "Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send and who will go for us?' And I said, 'Here I am, send me.'" Church, I am here to tell you that God is still inviting His followers to join Him in His work. Today we are diving deep into the heart of both Mary and Joseph's answers. We will explore three key truths from their lives that can truly transform our lives and our thinking. It will transform how we respond to God's invitations in our own lives. So as we explore the first truth this morning, I would like to ask you that you write this down, and I want to tell you this. God's call often comes in unexpected ways. God's call often comes in unexpected ways. Luke chapter 1, 20, I want to read to you 26 through 38 says this. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. Let me give you a little of the backstory that changes everything about this account for us. You see, Mary was a young woman, most likely a teenager. She was from Nazareth. Nazareth now was an insignificant village that was basically the ancient equivalent of a small farming town that most people drove through without stopping. You know, the kind that when you blink, you missed it? Yeah, there's a few of those around here. I've been through them. And now, in Mary's culture, what we need to understand, in Mary's culture, engagement wasn't just a promise ring. It wasn't just an Instagram announcement. Have you seen some of those engagement announcements? They're pretty high tech, right? They're all about the show. But Mary's engagement, however, was legally binding, almost like being married. No, catch this, no bachelorette trips to another state or sowing your wild oats before you took the plunge. And to become pregnant before the wedding ceremony meant a social scandal. It meant that the potential of being rejected by her family and even the legal consequences that could mean death. Yet God's messenger arrived in her ordinary, predictable life with a world-changing message that would turn everything upside down. God, church, God is still working like this today. You know, I'm here to tell you that He is still working in this way. You see, here's what I love about this. God didn't send Gabriel to a palace in Jerusalem. He didn't. He didn't appear to the high priest in the temple to relay the message that he wanted to share with Mary, right? He didn't go through a pastor. He didn't go through a priest. He didn't go through anyone. Nope, not at all. No, Gabriel showed up in Mary's normal day. Probably while she was doing normal things. You know, maybe she was drawing water from the well, or helping with household tasks, Or maybe she was daydreaming about her upcoming wedding day. Could you imagine that? But here's what I believe God wants us to see from this encounter between Gabriel and Mary this morning. God's biggest invitations often arrive in our most ordinary moments. When you're just going through everyday life, just like you always do. And many times we're just going through the motions. A lot of times we're just on autopilot as we go do the same job that we've done over and over again. As we do things around the house, we're just doing ordinary things. And God shows up. You see, something that I am certain you do not know is how I actually became devoted and committed to the call that God was inviting me into and how it came to be. You see, as I've been preparing this Advent season, God has been making me remember some of the past. You see, the night that I wrestled with God for over 3 hours, to which He obviously won. But what you don't know was what led up to that long restless night. You see, I had already been hired by the leadership at Church of the Lakes to be a part-time youth pastor, into a part-time youth pastor position, meaning that I was sharing the position with someone else. I won't go into details about all that, but it was all because of people and pleasing people that it came to be that way. But anyway, I felt like the youth that I was ministering to deserved more. They deserved someone that would be devoted to them and their lives full time. To attend to them full time for their physical and spiritual needs. So, after a couple months of trying to fit in to this box that Church of the Lakes put me into, I went to the leadership and I said I was resigning from my position. And I was totally fine with it. I was totally fine with going back to the tool trade and making that good money that I was making. But then it wasn't too long after that that God woke me up. And He woke me up in what I would call the dark night of my soul. You see, He reminded me what He had invited me to do. I told God that I think He picked the wrong person. I told Him that. I said, God, you know, I think you got the wrong guy. But God told me that night, I want you to go back and tell the pastor and the leadership that God has called me to be the youth pastor at Church of the Lakes. And I was like, really, God? I mean, I just resigned from there. And God simply told me that night, this is exactly what I want you to do. No details. I didn't see the whole plan, right? I didn't see the whole plan, of which if I had, I probably wouldn't have left the tool trade, to be honest. God didn't give me all the details, but He did promise that He would equip me and fill in the rest as I would follow Him. You see, that is exactly how it felt for Mary. Gabriel basically said, you are going to be the mother of the Messiah. Not that I can equate the two. And when she asked for specifics, the answer was, the Holy Spirit will take care of the details. The Holy Spirit will take care of the details. What does this mean for us today? Well, first, I think it is important for you to be prepared for God's call to interrupt your comfort and your routine. I mean, the next time you feel that nudge to serve, to give, to step out in faith, or have a difficult conversation with someone, don't dismiss it because it doesn't fit your timeline. Don't dismiss it because it doesn't make immediate sense. You see, don't ignore the Holy Spirit because you can't see how things play out. Does God know what is best for you this morning? You better believe He does. Romans 8:28, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. First, I should say, this doesn't mean that everything that happens in your life is going to be good. Okay? It doesn't mean everything's going to be good, but what it does mean is in the midst of life, God is growing us. He is growing our marriages. He is growing our churches. And He is growing them and you to be strong in the midst of life's challenging moments. Church evil is prevalent in our fallen world. It is. But God is able to turn every circumstance around for our long-range good. Church, something else that I would say is God is not working in our lives to make us happy, but to fulfill His purpose. And it can only be claimed by those who love God and who say, "Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, send me. Yes, Lord, I will go. Yes, Lord, I will join you," right? Now, from the world's perspective, Mary's decision to join God in His work didn't make sense. It didn't. And maybe even from Mary's perspective, it didn't make sense. It certainly didn't fit in her timeline, right? It didn't fit in her timeline. I mean, she was about to be married and start her life with Joseph. What were people going to say about her? I mean, what were they going to say? Oh no, I mean, her reputation was maybe going to be tainted. Church, the most important thing is we are not here to please man. We are here to please God, amen? We are here to please God. We are here to be obedient and available for God to use us. You know, I think we get it backwards a lot. We use God to help us in our plans. Doesn't work. The only plans that matter are God's plans. And how they come about? Well, I can tell you, as I'm going to tell you here in just a little bit, doesn't always make sense. Doesn't always feel good. You see, but even then, it goes beyond that for God's church. I mean, we need to support those around us. When God calls them into something risky or new, you know, when one of my brothers or sisters come and say, "You know, I really feel God is leading me to do this," the last thing they need is for me to be negative. I need to be encouraging. I need to be in support. How can we help you accomplish what God has put on your heart to accomplish? That's how the church should function. When someone in our church family says, "I think God might be calling me to fill in the blank," don't be the voice of caution that talks them out of it because it doesn't make sense to you either. Be the voice of encouragement that helps them to discern God's will for their lives. Church, let's create a culture that celebrates obedience to God's call. That's the thing we need. We need to create a culture in our lives and in our churches that celebrates obedience to God, even when it doesn't fit our expectations or our plans. You see, some of the most beautiful and effective ministries that happen in and through our church started when someone said, "Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord," to God's unexpected invitation. The next truth that I would like to explore with you this morning is, write this down, God's plan often costs us something. You know, God's plan often costs us something. I want to read to you from Matthew chapter 1, 18 through 25. Says this. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us, right? When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife, but he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Let's talk about Joseph for a moment, because his part of this account often gets overshadowed by Mary's dramatic, angelic encounter. You see, Joseph was a craftsman. He was a craftsman, which is the Greek word tekton, right? Which could mean carpenter or stoneworker or general contractor. He had a business to run. He had a reputation to maintain and a community that knew him as a faithful, law-abiding man. Then Mary shows up pregnant. Can you imagine that conversation? "Joseph, I know this is going to sound crazy, but an angel visited me and I'm carrying the Son of God." Now think about this. Joseph had every right, he had every legal right, he had every social and religious right to walk away from her. Could have walked away from her. No guilt, no shame, just walk away from her. In fact, Matthew tells us he was planning to do exactly that, right? I mean, but he was going to do it quietly. He was going to do it quietly. He loved Mary. He didn't want to expose her to public disgrace, so he was going to divorce her quietly. This response tells us a whole lot about Joseph's character, does it not? But then as Joseph was getting his plan figured out, God interrupted Joseph's plan with a dream. Let's talk about the cost of saying yes to God. For Joseph, saying yes meant accepting the public misunderstanding and the gossip that would come with Mary's pregnancy, right? His reputation would take a hit. His business might suffer. People would whisper. They would point and make assumptions about his character. For Mary, saying yes meant risking everything. It meant risking her relationship with Joseph, her standing in the community, her family's honor, and potentially her life. Jesus did say in Matthew 16, 24, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me," did he not? You see, It would take choosing faith over fear for Mary and Joseph. It would take exactly what they did. They chose faith over fear. They chose obedience over reputation and God's approval over public opinion. Let's apply this to our lives today. You see, in today's terms, it's likely saying yes to a calling that makes your neighbors raise their eyebrows. It causes your coworkers to whisper behind your back, or your extended family to question your judgment. You see, it's like adopting a child when everyone says you're too old, or you've already got enough on your plate. You know, leaving a secure, nice-paying job to go into the ministry. Standing up for your faith when it might cost you professionally. Choosing forgiveness when everyone around you expects you to stay angry or tells you that you have every right to leave. You have every right to stay angry. Church, giving generously when it means cutting back on your lifestyle or telling the truth to someone even though it could mean that they walk away. I'll never forget, just over 26 years ago, almost 27 years ago, Tracy and I had been married for almost 10 years and I was full of self. I lived for self. Tracy had had enough and wanted a divorce. Looking back, who could have blamed her? We were separated for 3 months. Tracy had actually filed for divorce when God intervened. You see, Tracy had become a Christian. I had not become a Christian just yet. But hey, I was getting my family back. Several months after, as things were going great, my life, I reinserted myself into my family and my friends and all these things. Things were going well in my eyes. Tracy, the Christian, had a nagging burden that she had to tell me. She had felt God was wanting her to come clean, or this was going to eat her up inside. You see, one night against worldly counsel, Tracy tells me that she had something that she needed to share with me. Now, just so you understand, I had told her for years that if the thing she was about to tell me ever happened, we were done. There would be no hope and there would be no fixing things, not to mention the secret wasn't hurting anyone as long as it remained a secret. But Tracy had to trust God with this, and she did. When I received the news, I got up and was heading out the door when something stopped me. I now know it was God. Yes, she had made a terrible decision while we were apart. But it was something that I played a very big part in, I would say, putting her in that position. But God reminded me that I was not innocent in the matter. I forgave her that night, and our relationship has grown ever since. You see, we just celebrated 36 years of marriage this past September. You see, these decisions that were made to please God, not the world, or not even ourselves. When Tracy had told me that deep, dark secret, she knew that I could, that it was a very good chance that I would walk away, never to be in a relationship with her ever again. But because God was nudging her, and He was working in my life, and her trust in God, look at where we are now. Now, don't get me wrong, these decisions that were made to please God, not the world, not ourselves. And as the weeks went on, family and friends would call me and they would ask me, are you sure this is something you want to do? I even called up the man that she had the one time fling with, who happened to be a friend, and told him that I forgave him and that I loved him and I'm still in a relationship with him today. You see, God had a plan for our lives. That's the thing I want you to see. God had a plan for our lives. He invited Tracy and I into that plan. And again, look at us now. If we'd have gave up 26, 27 years ago, none of this would have happened. You see, God's plan, my friends, often costs us something. What does this mean for us today? Well, it means that we must be willing to follow God's call even when it doesn't make sense. Even when it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you your comfort. It's going to cost you your reputation. It could cost you your security, right? Don't let the fear, here's the thing, something I learned long ago because of my relationship with my wife and through God, don't let the fear of what others might think keep you from what God is asking you to do. Encourage and stand with others when their obedience makes life harder, right? Be the friend who says, I'm proud of you for following God, even when you don't fully understand their decision. And my last truth that I want to explore with you today is this: God's promises are worth the risk. God's promises are worth the risk. I want to read to you from Luke chapter 2, 1 through 7. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, to the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Church, here is something that is so remarkable. You see, the fulfillment of God's promise didn't come wrapped in comfort and convenience. No, the journey to Bethlehem was about 90 miles. 90 miles of difficult travel. Mary was 9 months pregnant. Church, when they arrived in town, there was no room for them in the inn. No comfortable birthing suite, no family nearby to help them. The delivery room was a stable. Church, the baby's first bed wasn't a nice, beautiful nursery that mom and dad had decorated and furnished in expectation of his arrival. It was a stable. It was a feeding trough. The attending medical staff, well, there wasn't any. But it was exactly as God had planned it. Fulfilling ancient prophecies and bringing salvation to the world in the most humble, unexpected way possible. You see, there was a promise for us in that stable over 2,000 years ago. A promise for me, a promise for you, right? Think about what Mary experienced in that stable. 9 months earlier, an angel had promised her that she would give birth to the Son of the Most High, who would reign on David's throne forever. Now here she was giving birth in a manger, surrounded by sounds and smells of farm animals. But when she looked down at the baby's face, she was holding the fulfillment of every promise that God had ever made. Emmanuel, God with us in human form. You see, church, Mary's yes didn't lead to an easy road, but it did lead to the presence of God in her arms. You see, church, sometimes God promises don't remove the struggle. They make the struggle worth it. What's the long view of faith, right? What's the long view? What's the journey of faith for us, for them? Well, both Mary and Joseph had to learn that God's timeline isn't always our timeline. God's methods, my friends, are not always what we expect. You know, I think for some reason in our world today, we think we got God figured out. That couldn't be far from the truth. We don't have God figured out. We got God in this nice, pretty little box where when we need something, we bring Him out, we pray to Him, we expect Him to move on our behalf. That's not how God does things. No, God has a plan and a purpose for your life. He's inviting you every day to join Him in His work. He's looking for men and women of God to say yes. Yes, I'll follow you, God. Yes, I'll join you. Yes, it doesn't make sense, right? It doesn't make sense. I got my week already planned out for next week. Will it go that way? Probably not if I'm a yes man to God. Church, think about this. I mean, Mary and Joseph had to learn that God's timeline isn't always their timeline. God's methods are not always what we expect. But God's faithfulness, His faithfulness is always certain. His faithfulness is always certain. Think about this with me. Mary had to wait 9 months to see God's promise fulfilled. Joseph had to endure months of whispered gossip and raised eyebrows. They both had to trust that God's plan was bigger than their comfort. They had to believe that obedience to God would ultimately be worth whatever it cost them. And it was. The baby in the manger became the Savior of the world. John 3:30 says, He must become greater, I must become less. You know, thinking about that, my plans, my expectations, my life must become secondary to God's will in my life. Do you have plans? I'm sure you do. Do you have expectations? I love when people come to talk to me about their future plans, their expectations, their retirement plan. That one really gets me. What's God's plan? What's God's plan in your life? Is there room for God's plan in your life? You got it all figured out, right? You got it all planned out. I know I did. I had it all planned until that dark night of my soul when God came to me and said, this is exactly what I want you to do. So what does this mean for us today? Well, church, we must remember that God's promises may require perseverance before you can actually see their fulfillment. I look back at those two big moments in my life, and though they were hurtful and they were challenging, I wouldn't have changed them for nothing. Because God's plan was that I was going to be right where I am today. With a marriage of 36 years, a beautiful family, following a God that is taking care of our every need. There is nothing greater, my friends. We must remember that God's promises require perseverance before you will actually see them. That means you're going to have to step in faith and trust God with your life, with your future, with your family. Don't give up on what God has called you to do just because you don't see immediate results. Church, we need to walk alongside others who are in waiting for the fulfillment of God's promises in their lives. We need to remind them of God's faithfulness when they are tempted to give up on God's promises. And church family, let's keep our eyes on God's long-term faithfulness, not just immediate results. Mary's yes brought the Savior into the world, right? Joseph's yes gave that Savior a home, protection, an earthly father's love. You see, their obedience literally changed the course of human history. And this is what I want you to know this morning. Your yes to God matters just as much. Your willingness to say yes to God's calling can bring the presence of Jesus into your home. Is your home feel like it's in chaos? Maybe God's just waiting for you to invite Him into your life and into your home. Right? Your yes could change your home. Your yes to God's calling can bring the presence of Jesus into your workplace, into your neighborhood, and into your relationships. You see, church, saying yes to God, I'm going to say, may disrupt your plans. It is likely that it is going to cost you something. It may even lead you down a road that you didn't expect, through circumstances that test your faith and challenge your comfort zone. But church, let me tell you something. It always leads to Him. The path always leads to Him. And I'm here to tell you this morning, He is always worth it. No matter what struggles, no matter what hardships I have to go through in this life, knowing that He is in every detail, working things out for my good, even when it hurts like the Dickens. Still today, 27 years later, I say He's worth every moment of it. He is worth it. Church, this Christmas season, let Mary and Joseph's courage inspire you. Let it inspire your own courage. Their story reminds us that ordinary people who say yes to God can do extraordinary things. Your yes matters, just so you know. Your yes matters. Your obedience counts. Your willingness to trust God when you can't see the whole picture can change everything. For you, for your family, and for the world around you. God is asking, will you join Him? Will you say yes to His plan in your life? Let's pray. Father, we come before You and we thank You for this account. We thank You for the challenge to follow You no matter what. To be obedient to You no matter what it costs. God, I thank You for the life You have given me. I thank You for the journey. Yes, Lord, it's been rough at times. But I've seen You at work every moment of every step of the way. God, I pray Your blessing over this church family, over every family that's represented here today. God, may they be inspired by this age-old story of when You invaded our world. God, bless us as we are a blessing to You. In Jesus' name, amen. I would like to invite the youth group to come up as they're going to close us with the last song before we leave this morning. I would ask that, I want to make sure the background doesn't need to show the music, so we don't want that to be in any of the videos. And we're going to invite the youth group to come up. However many of you there are, come on. We are excited. Yes. Noah strategically decided to work the nursery today. I knew that was going to happen. That's okay. Who? Oh, Levi's coming. He's got, you got this. You got this. He's got this. He's got this. So we are going to hear. Don't get too close to the flame there. I'm so.
that there was.
Absolutely. I think I just went dead. I don't know. Maybe. I don't. No, I'm on. Somebody muted me. It's okay. Thank you. Thank you very much. Well, you guys go ahead, just come down, have a seat right here, and we're going to pray, and then I'll pray for you guys. We're going to see them again in a couple weeks. They're going to be doing Mary, Did You Know? Maybe your confidence is going to be even...
Hopefully more people will be here.
Yeah. I think you guys did great. Give them some microphones. Yeah, we could have done that, but maybe. I don't know. Sometimes people get a little stage fright with a microphone, but we'll see what we can do. No, you want one? You want a lapel mic? All right. Hey, let's pray, and then we're gonna get you guys out of here. Father, we are so thankful for this youth group we are. We're thankful for Melody, for Amy, for the time that they spend together learning about Jesus, and God, for them to be up here celebrating this Advent season with us. We are just blessed. God, I just pray that you would bless them beyond measure in the week ahead as they've been a blessing to us today. God, be with them, be with their families. Bless all of us beyond measure this week. We love you, God, and we commit all these things to you. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the Lord bless you. I pray that he keeps you. I pray that he reveals himself to you during this Advent season. May you follow him, and may he be glorified as you join him in his work with your lives. Go in peace, and we'll see you again soon. In Jesus' name, amen.